This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
We got a busy show today. A lot to talk about. We're going to talk a little golf today. Yeah. My guy, Rory, in the mix. We'll get into that. Nugget stuff. Last night, I watched a little bit of the NBA. Top stories of the day coming up. Sean Keeler going to join us for Keeling Me Softly. All that and more. The whole show starts now. First day in a while, I don't think I'm going to need about 13 beers after the show, and I'll explain why. We can't find Michael Kirkpatrick. Nobody knows where he is. He hasn't shown up yet, and that's okay, because we've got Brian Gary on the other side of the bulletproof glass, one of the stars, or I should say the star, of Good Morning NoCo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and friend. And it's great to have Brian on, but we don't know where Michael is. He was scooting around, last seen on his scooter, and he hasn't been here yet.
All we can do is hope.
Yeah, we just hope.
You know, and that's really up to you to define what that hope is.
Do you think he's at a Star Trek convention, possibly?
I think he's somewhere having pizza and Mountain Dew.
He's probably happy wherever he is.
Yeah, and that's all we can really want for the little guy.
That's all we want. Yep. He's out today. We knew about it, but doesn't change the fact that I'm not going to have 13 beers after the show today. Or I might to celebrate, because I get to work with Brian Gary. It's pretty cool. It's pretty fun.
Oh, I love the days that this does happen. I've only got to do this a couple times with you, but it's fun. It really is. I enjoy hearing everything. I enjoyed being in here with Derbs, you know, when he had his tryout.
Derbs lucked out today to host Coach Speak, because Derbs, he follows preps, but not like Bruce does. But he got big stories to hit. We're going to talk about that, too, with this Windsor situation. I know you'll be able to fill me in a little bit on that. But he lucked out, man, because he got some easy topics today. And it was great listening. And, boy, that story, I know Kevin was on with you guys, too, Kevin Lytle. That story is wild. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. So I'm looking forward to it. Are you still watching the NBA playoffs, Brian? Are you still engaged?
I am following, not as much watching. The Knicks series was just so ridiculously awful.
And the Lakers and Thunder really wasn't great.
There was nothing there. I am intrigued. This Cleveland series is intriguing.
Cleveland's intriguing.
Yeah.
Last night was, okay, so I just got in. We're doing stuff outside. I got in, turned on the game.
And yeah, I was going to watch that too.
So Minnesota tied the game at 61 after being down 18.
Yeah.
As soon as I turn it on, it's 60. I think it was Anthony Edwards. I don't know who it was. Made a basket to tie the game. 61-61. And it's, oh, wow, comeback, 18 points down. And then San Antonio took over the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw. I was expecting more out of that game last night. I still do think that series is going to get pushed to 7.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think you bring that back to – they're bringing it back to Minnesota. You know, of course, San Antonio up 3-2. But I figured Wimby was going to go off in this game. Did you see Rudy Gobert, like, for all the attaboys everyone was giving him for his containment, not shutdownment,
right,
containment of Joker? And then early in the series, I thought he did well against Wimby. He was in a blender. His heart, his mind was in a blender last night. Wimby's going in for a dunk or a layup, and then does a fake pass to the corner, and then finds, Castle down in the paint, finds him for an easy dunk, Rudy Gobert literally did it. He did a 360. He turned around and he's like, I don't know where I am. Camera pans over. This is becoming the best part of these playoffs. Camera pans over to Dylan Harper. And because it did this when Wimby did his little kung fu elbow hit to Naz Reid the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Camera panned away from that and it just shows Dylan Harper like, what the hell? And it was like an office scene, you know, like you're watching the scene and then the camera just moves over. Well, during that play, when Rudy Gobert is just spinning in circles, camera pans over to Dylan Harper. And again, they just catch him on camera and he's like, what the hell? That has become my favorite thing in the playoffs, is to just watch Dylan Harper's face after Wimby does Wimby stuff, good or bad.
I'm going to have to tune in for that, because Wimby does stuff nobody's seen before. I mean, they are jaw-dropping moves for the man of that size.
And he's getting a little attitude too.
Which, when I saw the elbow and all that was like the last thing I expected out of him. I thought, oh yeah, you could accidentally with the, you know, just the way he's built. But that was fierce.
Well, and he's slapping guys. He slapped Jaden McDaniels across the face, and he's like, that one's for Joker. That's not his accent. It would be, wee, that one's for Joker. You know, French kind of thing.
That was so French.
That was really close.
That was so
I'm pretty good at doing the Serbian thing. The French thing I haven't mastered yet.
Just croissant.
Yeah, there you go. Croissant.
Yes.
Or what is another French term? Give me something else.
Omelette du fromage.
Exactly. French fries, you know.
That's I said cheese omelette, but you know, that's
pretty good.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good, Brian.
Yeah.
I find myself just checking in, because I'm still pretty heartbroken. I'm still pretty pissed off with how everything went with the Nuggets. I still have a million questions that really weren't answered on Friday from Josh Kroenke in the offices of Tenzer and Wallace and David Adelman.
There was, I thought it sounded a lot like, hey, whatever we do, we do.
Yeah. We could either trade everybody but Joker, or we could have the exact same team. Either one. You know, spin the chamber and we'll see what happens. I just don't know. They want to sign Peyton Watson. I don't know that they can, because last year they trade Michael Porter Jr. and all the talk was, we have zero interest in getting back into the second apron. We're not going to mess with that again, because it does screw you over. It messes with your mid-level exemptions, you know, your veteran minimums. Like, it screws over trades. And it really, if you go into the second apron, those are the teams that are kind of like OKC, Detroit. I'm talking about teams, Cleveland now, teams that are like, we're there. We are, because anybody that's in this playing today, right now, that's not been eliminated, you could make a case for winning a championship at this point. Those are the teams that say, yeah, we're willing to go into the second apron because it is literally championship or bust. I don't know if Denver, as they're constructed right now, even with re-signing Peyton Watson, and maybe they are, but I don't know if they're championship or bust. Because I don't trust Aaron Gordon at this point. I love Aaron Gordon. I don't trust his health.
His health, yeah.
I don't trust it. Jamal Murray earned everybody's trust in the regular season again and then disappeared for the most part in the playoffs. So I have I'm 50-50. They could be championship or bust if they run it back with a healthy Gordon and a re-signed Peyton Watson. Or they could very well be a fifth seed and get bounced in the first round again.
I'm just curious what your feelings are on this. Could there be hesitation on the Watson thing and so forth? Because is that for real? Is the Peyton Watson we saw second half of this year who Peyton Watson is? Or was it the guy we were waiting to get to that point? That's a big risk to me.
It's a huge risk. And they just lost a risk last year because they chose to sign Christian Brown over Watson.
But he's the leader of the team.
He's the leader of the team. Yeah. So obviously you got to sign that guy.
Yeah.
You desperately need an 8-point night guy and a very non-vocal guy and a guy that passes up easy layups in the paint to be the leader of the team. I can see why Christian Brown went there. And I can see why David Adelman comes out on Friday and says, yo, yeah, I agree. He is a leader of the team. And I would have been fine if Christian Brown says, I'm one of the leaders of this team. That's a non-issue, because that's a very vague thing. Theoretically, you could say seven guys on a roster are a leader of a team. But to say you're the leader, and some say, well, he didn't mean it quite like that. He didn't recap. He didn't follow up with, I didn't mean I'm not the leader or I'm the leader. He believes he's the leader of this team, and that's a problem. So they took a risk. They chose to sign Brown over Watson. I was fine with it because Brown was the better player.
I agree.
But it went south. These things happen. Sometimes the guy you sign doesn't turn out to equate what you paid him. Michael Porter Jr. was probably there. I don't think anybody had a problem with MPJ, the player, or his perseverance through injury or anything like that. It was when you looked at the dollars connected, and the reason that matters, because it's not our money, the reason that matters is because the dollars connected, they don't allow Tim Hardaway Jr. to be on this team. They don't allow Jonas Valanciunas to be on this team or Bruce Brown. And so that's why that contract was a problem. Now, going forward, Christian Brown's dollars that connect to his name possibly don't allow Peyton Watson to be re-signed. Now, if they could do it over again, I'm sure they signed Peyton Watson, but I'm kind of with you in, are we 100%? I mean, I'm seeing Denver media, national media say they need to do whatever they can to sign Peyton Watson, and he becomes the true number two to Joker. I'm not ready to go there yet, because even though Jamal Murray has kind of shaken my trust, he is still the number two. A healthy Aaron Gordon is the number three. And then it's kind of any given night. I thought Cam Johnson was fine in the playoffs, but that would be the name they would really talk about moving if they could. I don't know that anyone's taken mid-20 millions for Cam Johnson right now. So they could be stuck, or they could risk it all and go into the second apron.
And I love this team enough to feel that if they were healthy, things would have been different. You know, I know we were playing teams that were injured as well, but just we had so few opportunities to see this team completely together. It was always waiting. Well, okay, we got him back. Now when we get him back, was there really enough time for them to figure each other out again?
And that's that's where I'm struggling, because there's the glass half full. And I think, honestly, this is where Josh Kroenke's viewing it. Like, we didn't get a chance to see everybody really together to build what we thought we had. I do believe there's truth to that. But then I look at Minnesota and I say, man, Anthony Edwards missed a lot of basketball games this year. They had several guys that missed a lot of basketball games this year. And they're now going into a game six in a series that, whether it was Minnesota or Denver, people thought, it's going to be over pretty quickly. So, but then there's also Denver maybe theoretically, if they're healthy, could have beat Minnesota. And maybe they're down 3-2 to San Antonio with this current group, which would then lead me not to think we need wholesale changes. So they don't have an easy job this summer. It's not going to be easy. But the feeling that's overwhelming me more than anything is insanity. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And that's where I worry, but there's just so much truth to the injury thing, too. I'm torn on what to do. And maybe in a month, I'm like, you know what? Jamal Murray's fine. Aaron Gordon's going to be okay. But that's a risky way to live. That's a risky thing to bet your future. And, you know, we're getting down to probably the final years of Joker. I mean, it could be 5 years.
That's kind of my thought as well.
So every year is considered a major waste. So do you run it back again, crossing your fingers that Aaron Gordon is healthy, that Peyton Watson, if you do re-sign him, becomes that true number two, number three guy. Jamal Murray is consistent from game one to final game in the playoffs. So there's a lot of crossing your fingers at this point, and that's a scary way to live.
I don't know that I could be overly disappointed either way. You know, I just, as long as we have Joker. If you want to run it back, I love this team. So I'm gonna be cheering. I'm gonna feel confident about it. If you feel that you need to dismantle and do things and bring some people in, it's not like I can stand up and scream that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and a lot of the talk too is like going over to the Boston side of things, because Boston's certainly in a mode of, we're not gonna run this back again. We know that Jaylen Brown is phenomenal, and we know that Jason Tatum is phenomenal, but maybe they're not phenomenal together anymore, and maybe there is a little bit of a riff over whose team it is or how well they gel. The idea of a Jaylen Brown coming over,
Jaylen Brown coming over would be a, well, number one, we have good luck with Browns. Well, we have, it's hit and miss.
Yeah, we have kind of good luck with Browns.
Yeah, we've seen both sides. But he's you make a good point. It's almost like when you have the two stars together, it's almost like a marriage, you know. And sometimes, even though you don't know it, you've kind of drifted apart, you know. And that could be what's, you know.
Yeah, in similar positions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different when you have a star at the guard position and a star at the center position. So we'll get into more of that coming up 20 minutes after the hour. I think the fellas are going to join us here in just a bit. We got the dude down the hall, Tanner. We've got Tom Hensel, who is the head golf pro over at the Eden Country Club. We're going to talk golf, Brian.
You are?
Oh, yeah. Big golf guy.
Oh, I know. I was seeing some of the stats you were sending in during our show.
The stuff that just lives in my brain, I'm ready to release. And we're ready to talk some golf and some Rory McIlroy, blisters included. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back. All
the
small
things. The Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Sorry, I didn't refresh the text line, but we've got some texts.
Been blowing up.
People are worried, and people are worried about the Nuggets. They're worried about Michael. It's just a lot of words. Let's get to it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Travis, the new guy. LOL. I knew as soon as you said that you didn't need 13 beers after today's show that Michael was not there. Am I that predictable? Is it that predictable now?
I think it's that obvious.
Did I ever tell you when I had Ed Lamb in here? He co-hosted with me right after the season, shortly after the season. He had some time to do it. And he wasn't, you know, he listens and stuff, but he wasn't aware that Michael abuses me
on
a daily basis. So when we were doing our thing that we do, Ed froze in his chair. And he's looking at Mike. He looks back at me kind of like, you look like you're going to kill him. And then I took the headset off. We went to break. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, you guys okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, things are good. Things are fine. If we're nice to each other,
that's a problem.
That's when you start. If I get on this show and I say, wow, Michael, you've done a really great job today, then you should be probably thinking he's getting fired. Like
or
that's the last day.
Or you did have those 13 beers.
I did have those 13 beers. Let's read a couple of texts here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Faith, I was, hey, Brian from Brian and Friends Show. I hope Michael's okay. I worried there for a minute. Glad he's safe. Well, we think he's safe. I don't know. Be honest, do we care? I don't know. We kind of care, maybe.
He hasn't texted me for like an hour, so I'm a little concerned.
Well,
with some things that this probably won't happen, but if it does,
Michael, the notes that you have, do you want to read some of the notes, Brian? Because like they're just most of the notes that he gives Brian. He acts as if you know this is. I mean, it's complicated. Back there, it's very tough. I couldn't do it, but. He acts as if 14 million, like, if this happens, we're all dead, are going to happen.
Let me just read you the first entry and the last entry of his note. First entry, and this is for when I'm producing your show, which I've done before, and I've done this for long time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Press start next after opening bumper at 11:05, like with traffic when Brady is done talking. Okay.
That's good.
Pretty simple.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty good.
The last one. I have a playlist for Brady. It has his picture on it. Thanks for filling in.
Why did he put my picture on there?
Your picture has always been on there. I have been looking. I have seen. No, when it has your playlist, because we all have playlists, and yours is your picture.
Oh.
So does he think I have never looked at this screen before?
Brad, if you want to get into the production room, you just go up to the door and you turn the doorknob a little bit and then you push the door and then it's open.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Some of these are pretty good.
The Brady and Micah back and forth is the best thing on radio.
Oh, God. If that's the best thing in radio, this is the end of the world. Like HVAC guy says, for a minute there, I figured Mikey got raptured and all of you were just left behind. That's how
they'd take him.
That's how it would go. Yeah. And he's like on his scooter, and he's just got his hands lifted up, and there's a beam coming down on him.
Finally made it. Screw you guys.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
I'm just picturing that. That's
it's
horrible.
It's so much fun. Yeah. Fun doing it. Isai Chris is just starting to listen. Have you fellas said anything about Giannis? I don't know how I feel. Okay. Let's just say in a perfect world, the Nuggets could acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo. I guess that would work, but that's not he's not coming here without Jamal Murray and probably Aaron Gordon.
And them being here?
Yeah, without them going. I would.
Oh, you think they'd have to, you'd have to unload that?
So are you ready to say goodbye to the, which many national people say is the best two-man game in the sports, in the sport, is Jamal Murray and Joker. You would say goodbye to that. Joker and Giannis aren't going to run that quick two-man game at the top. There's variations of it they could do, but it's not going to be quick dribble handoffs and quick screens and cuts and back screen. Like that's gone unless you get a ball handler that's really good that can do that. But I think Jamal Murray, this is where he gets an unfair shake. He's very good at that connection and that two-man game with Joker. The problem with it is they rely on it so much that the dude is absolutely gassed by the time he goes up sometimes to actually take the shot.
He's an incredible player. There is no doubt about that. And I would find it very difficult to not say, yes, I would be in favor of that. But just hearing it, I don't feel like their games mesh side by side. Feel like they would make a handshake like it does with Jamal or somebody else with Joker. I just don't know that Giannis and him could be that. And I could be way off.
Ideally, the structure of the Nuggets, the way they approach the game. Now, again, I think David Adelman put Joker in weird positions this year. I really like Joker in the two-man game. And once he does get that ball up at the top of the free throw line extended, I like him taking action and going hard toward the rim rather than a lot of the back down approach that I think Adelman put him in. But the way they operate that, the way Joker is the best, is you give him a really good ball handler at point guard and a pretty good ball handler at two, but you also have guys that can knock down the shots. Do things get too cloudy in that paint if your new focus is going to be our stars are the two bigs? Like, that's where we're focusing. Could it work? Yeah. But that's going to change. Because remember, now again, I'm not saying Giannis Antetokounmpo can play all over the court. But they did really put an emphasis on the two bigs when Joker started in his career. It was Nikola Jokic and it was Yusuf Nurkic. Now again, Yusuf is not playing above the free throw line. I get it. But that's a lot of where Giannis makes his money, is starting that drive from the top of the key, the free throw line. And nobody can stop him once he gets that momentum. How does that work with Joker? I'm curious. It would be fascinating. I just don't know that it's better than what you currently have right now.
I think of remember Rudy Tomjanovich?
Yeah. Yep,
okay.
Yep.
When he was a coach of the Rockets, and I think it's when it was Drexler and Olajuwon there, and he said, "Look, give me two superstars and three guys from the CBA, which was around at the time." He said, "Give me that lineup, and I can win."
Yeah.
He said, "And I'll win a championship." Is the NBA different now? Can you still? I mean, is that the successful formula?
I think the Thunder and now kind of the Spurs and maybe even Minnesota are showing us that superstars are nice. Depth might be almost as important. You know, having guys that you can platoon, you can, look at nobody was talking about Jaden McDaniels.
No.
We're talking about him. The Spurs have a lot of guys coming off the bench that play really well. DeSumo for Minnesota coming off the bench played really well. So I'm not so sure, but let's keep going on this. This is going to be a fun conversation throughout the day. We got top stories of the day. Boy, the Lane Kiffin stuff, that's the gift that keeps on giving, man. Ole Miss, very racist, bad, don't like them. Now that I'm not getting checks from them, anymore. LSU, though, that's clean. Yeah, because their name is not named after anything racist. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But Tom Hensel, head golf pro of the Eaton Country Club, is going to join us. I believe the dude down the hall is going to make an appearance. And Tanner Schwint, if he can finish his Chick-fil-A in time, is going to be in here as well. So this should be
fun. Must have missed the part where he ordered for all of us.
I asked him, and he just went,
I've got two kids.
32 minutes. Did he have another kid? Did he? I didn't hear.
Well, they're due again, I think. Yeah, they had a weekend off, so it's like.
A weekend off, and they're going to have another one. Probably. I'm looking out for kid number three on the way. Brian, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
We got a lot of golf people in the studio, and I think all of you guys are golf people here to listen what I have to say because I'm 2-0. I'm 2-0 in picks, Tom. Tom Hensel, head golf pro over at the Eaton Country Club, the dude down the hall. Tanner Schwint is joining us. We got Brian Gary back there running the show. This is an all-star cast here.
I'm loving it. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Tom, always, man. You're always welcome here.
Don't screw it up, Tom. Don't screw it up.
Don't screw this one up.
They did call me, what did they call Brian and Friend in the morning? Is that the new
name
of our show?
That's, yeah, Brian and Friend.
That's
yeah.
Noco with Brian.
Brian and Friend. I'm guessing I'm Friend because I don't think my name's Brian, so Friend?
You are Friend.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, you are Friend for now. For yes, now. Yeah, that's true.
For now. Tom, I'm you know, Rory, man, I'm riding the train
you're
right now.
Bad. At the Masters, you're pretty good.
Pretty good.
I got to eat some crow. I did predict that Rory would never win another major.
Yeah.
And then he went and won.
That literally major. Could not have gone any shorter than it did. Factually, that was a bold take for 4 days.
Yeah. I was right. Really, really short period of time.
I will never drink again.
Well, I was telling Tom during the break, I said, hey, and of course, I'm just going off of my golf knowledge. Tom in on my, mm-hmm. you know, my mm-hmm. brain. And I'm like, you know, there's only one thing that can beat Rory, and that's Rory. And that actually might beat Rory, and that's the blister Rory. It's just there's only one more thing intimidating than Rory McIlroy, and that's blister Rory McIlroy.
Have you ever had a blister?
I've had several of them.
Put a Band-Aid.
Do you think it's a big thing, Tom?
No.
No?
Where is the blister?
That's a huge question.
I think it's on his toe.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was on his finger.
I was too.
It was on his. Well, what the hell are we talking about here? He'll be fine.
Put two layers of socks on and call it good.
Yeah, man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that's.
He just needed an excuse to get off of the golf course for a practice round. He probably knows that course.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he would, if the blisty was on his fingy, for some reason I'm a toddler now, would it be a bigger issue?
Maybe it depends how big of the blister, I guess.
Yeah.
Just put a little athletic tape on there. You'll be fine.
Put a little blisters. Elmer's glue on there. Rip it open and put Elmer's glue in there.
Yeah.
Never done it before.
You ever golfed with a blister, Durs?
No. No.
You ever had a blister before, Derbs?
Yes, but no on the trying to do anything. I don't know how he's going to do it. If you guys have a blister, I mean, those things will get you.
All right, so Tom's saying it's not a big deal. Derbs is saying it's a major deal.
Do you actually think it's a big deal?
It's a major deal.
No, probably,
okay,
but
on your foot, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Where
I guess.
At on the foot?
I think it's his big toe.
Yeah, he ripped the nail off, and then I guess he's going to try wearing a half-size shoe bigger. And he brought in like seven different pairs of shoes to try to, I guess, do whatever with that. I don't.
Do you want me to look up Rory McIlroy feet pics for you? I will be doing that.
Already did that this morning. is that, so you're saying it's kind of, Tom, you're like, I don't know if it's really that big of an impact. Does that mean you like Rory McIlroy in the PGA Championships here.
I've picked him in a lot of pools that I'm in already.
So, is that were you thinking of me a little bit when you made those picks? Like, well, what would Brady do in this situation?
Well, I know you would pick Rory.
Rory, there's Rory.
But I think I'm just going to go full opposite of what I did last time and say he will never win another major, and I just think he's going to win about 10 more now.
He's going to win all majors now.
Never losing again.
Sometimes you just have to go extreme.
Yeah.
You have to go extreme. So I heard you guys talking a little bit about this one this morning. Give me something unique about this tournament, you know, because I like picking your brain a little bit about what sets this one apart.
Well, this is the fourth major, and it's always kind of been like the redheaded stepchild of the four majors. You know, have the Open or the British Open, the U.S. Open, the Masters. The PGA Championship, it was always used to be in August. And to get a little more traction, a little more people paying attention, they moved it to May back in 2013, I think. I still wish they had it in August. They had a nice little slogan called Glory's Last Shot.
What was the – I mean, okay, I guess I get moving things around to try to get more eyeballs, but August still seems like a pretty good time. You kind of – I mean, what's going on in August? I mean
– it's preseason football.
You're having preseason football, and there's – you know,
what was
the Rockies
reason?
Are still kind of playing. Not – that's Colorado, I guess. But baseball, you know, we're not in the playoffs yet, so August still seems like the perfect time.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I think a lot of people are kind of – second-guessing themselves now. And I suspect they'll move it back to August in the next 5-10 years or so.
That would be interesting if they decide. Yeah, because, I mean, if they're already kind of second-guessing that, maybe moving it back to, you know, pretty reasonable time, which I think, again, August is a good time for this.
I think they redo the entire thing next year with Brian Roloff starting out. I think he's a change maker. He likes to listen to the people. He wants to do the best that he possibly can. And I think he's hearing it right now. I guess we talked a little bit about the signature events and things and the no cuts. And my imagination is they wanted to get more of a condensed schedule and then have that lead a little further away that lead into the playoffs. And they wanted to make the playoffs the big thing. And then the playoffs kind of just turned into a little bit of a nothing burger where it just became meh. So I would imagine all of that kind of gets retooled and the end of the year becomes a little bit more spread out instead of having everything over like a 3-month span here.
Wow. 156 golfers are competing in this. That's the biggest one?
That is so many. Yeah.
That's a lot of golfers.
That's a lot.
How many of them actually, of the 156, have a reasonable chance to win this?
30.
Okay, 30. Mm.
Would you agree with that? Because you're a big anybody can
29
win
or 31.
So there, one unique thing about this tournament is it's the PGA Championship. So people, PGA members like myself, can play in this. And there's 20 of them that are we have our own tournament, the PGA Professionals Championship, and the top 20 in that get to qualify for this.
No
tournament.
Kidding! Wow.
So there's 20 dudes like me who are playing in it. And they don't have a chance.
Nobody's ever made any noise from that position?
A couple years ago, there was a pro named Michael Block.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's where that came up. Okay.
And he got 15th place, and it was the biggest deal on the planet.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Tom, if they play like you, they definitely don't have a shot.
Okay, here's dumb question time. The money, like the pot, how does this work? If you get 156th, do you get any money? Or is it just like you were here?
You will make as much money as he does.
Yeah. You know, I think most PGA tournaments, if you don't make the cut, you don't make any money. But I think with this one, you might get like a $4,000 check or something.
That's pretty cool.
That's not bad.
I'll take it now. Can I go play?
I was thinking it was just going to be the honor and the prestige of playing, but if you can get $4,000 out of the deal.
I don't know that for sure, but...
But close.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but hotels are $1,000 a night. Yeah. And then
you get a nice hotel, and it would be a fun experience.
Tom is exactly right. If you miss the cut, even if you play, it's $4,000. That's what it was last year. And you make the cut, finish last after making the cut. Last year, they made $23,420. Look at the brain on you, Tom. Mm-hmm. Attaboy.
All right, Tom, so who are you liking?
I can't pick Rory because I know you are.
Oh, yeah. You can pick him.
I'm going to go with
own him.
You should pick him just to see if he can come up with another golfer to pick. That's what you should do.
Rory.
We can only pick. We can't pick.
You can't pick this city.
I have to pick Rory. That's like you asking me to pick LeBron James over Nikola Jokic. Rory. I am a Rory McIlwain guy. Nobody knows more about this guy than I do. He's from Scotland.
You didn't know where his blister was.
Yeah.
And he's from Ireland.
Which actually, that's why I was looking up at the foot photos this time, just to figure out where the blisters were.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that today was. Well, today I had a reason for it.
All those stars came all together. That's pretty good.
Hey, Rory, is that a new freckle? You've been golfing with in barefoot lately? What's going on with that, man?
Is that a new freckle?
Don't remember that one from the picks, but maybe I got some bad information.
Oh, man.
I was so hoping that you were going to explain strokes gained for Rory McIlroy's today.
Well, you gain the strokes, obviously.
By how?
By how?
Well, you got to gain them.
That makes sense.
We don't want to lose them,
well,
right?
You got to make up ground.
Tom,
in your game.
Can I read you the text that Brady
golf game
this morning? Because I was
my secrets.
I was going to pick Rory to win on the morning show this morning, and then they got me all concerned about this blister because I thought it was on their finger somewhere. No, it's on the foot. So thanks for that, Derbs.
You're welcome.
Here's a text thread from Brady. He has a blisty. Everybody knows that. Only a handful of golfers that have a real shot of winning the Wanamaker Trophy. 11 live golfers makes it interesting. Scotty and Rory are expected to have quite the tango. But watch out for blisty. Rory leads in tour strokes gained off the tee, 0.854. Tee to green, 1.703. Got to clean up the short game. Wasn't sharp at Quail Hollow last week. That worries me.
Where did you get that quote?
In my brain. Oh, it was just from various research I've done over the years.
GTP.
No, I don't even know what that is. The Wanamaker Trophy dates back to 1916 when the business said Rodman Wanamaker realized the potential to sell more clubs if they were backed by the game's best. Just another piece of information.
Really? Golfing Brady
is in my brain over the years. I don't know where it comes from. It's just there when you live the game.
Yeah.
The game lives you, Tom.
You're a savant.
Yeah, you should hear Wine Review, Brady. It's about the same thing, Tom.
It's red.
Yeah.
Oh, you have heard it. Okay, you have.
Yes, Brady, yes. This one's water you got in there.
But look at the legs on this water.
Well, you know, you gotta find your strengths. Still searching.
So are you you're taking Rory?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got the I'm going to go with Ludvig Åberg.
Okay. All right. Who did you go with, Derbs? Are you changing it up?
No, I don't think so. I want to double down on the long shots. Hatton or Siwoo Kim, I really like here.
Those are two golfers. Hatton is a golfer. Right?
I know.
Tyrrell.
Yeah. You don't got to tell me.
Who you got, Brian?
I took
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, yeah. Yes. I took Fitzpatrick. He's on my fantasy team for this tournament. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of Euros going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got him and Fleetwood and McIntyre. And then I threw in Patrick Reed to beat the hell out of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say there's a Fleetwood McIntyre?
Yep.
So Fleetwood Mac, mm-hmm. essentially?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That is
pretty exciting.
I can't. Did somebody other than Rory? Just take it. Say a
Paolo
name.
Paolo Ughetti.
Just say a name. Let's see if it's close to a golfer. We'll assign you the golfer.
Well, there's Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. Mm.
Duh. Well,
duh. Defending champ?
Yes.
You going with Scotty this week?
No.
Nah,
it's something. The vibe's off. Vibe's off there, Tom. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's too long, I think.
Yeah. According to my notes.
One too much?
Yeah. Probably won too much.
He's sick of it.
Yeah. Doesn't win it again this year after winning it last year?
No, I don't think he's going to win it again after winning it last year.
No. Nobody does that.
Never. Nobody does that.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. This is the greatest golf segment of all time.
Well, I listen, I suck at golf. I'm terrible. You guys all know this. But I'll tell you, when I golf, And I enjoy myself. It's at the Eden Country Club. I mean, that's the thing. And that's why I love having Tom in here. It's a blast. And you guys don't make fun of me when I go out there, at least to my face, which makes me feel good.
We only make fun of people behind their back.
That's okay. That's fine. If I don't have to be there, it's like it never happened. Tom, I always appreciate this, man. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Fellas, thanks again.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Anytime.
All right, 11:51 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Admit, Brian, that was some good golf talk right there.
Oh, it's probably the best golf talk I've heard. I you guys should be the pre for every PGA tournament there is.
I think that would be actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I think that could work.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have things like, is that a new freckle, Rory?
That Rory's my guy.
I understand.
I can't help it. He's my guy, and I'm pulling for the dude. You know? I mean, it's just how it is. And from what I've studied, he is a pretty good shot. Blister or no blister.
He certainly does have a good shot.
He's got to work on his short game is what I've been told.
Well, that's what I heard from an expert earlier today. I believe it was you.
Yeah. He's got to get that figured out.
Yeah. Have you ever applied any of these things, you know, to the course itself?
No. Oh, it's pretty much just go out there
pretty much
and
a
hope
teacher.
I don't die. You know,
more of a teacher?
Yeah.
More,
yeah.
Okay.
And more of a observer that could teach my knowledge. Coming up next, Brian, we'll get to the top stories of the day. College football playoff expansion might be a no-go, according to some ESPN sources, that because ESPN might not be interested in expanding beyond 12, certainly not 24. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. The Lane Kiffin stuff is still out there. Also, question, where is Jared Bednar in the Mount Rushmore of Colorado coaches, not Avalanche coaches, but Colorado coaches? Let's talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.